Each week I tried to go back at least one more life. I thought if any of them were particularly interesting, we could return later and ask more questions. This was the method used in Five Lives Remembered, but the subject of that book only relived five lives. It had been much easier. As I took Katie slowly back, we had uncovered 26 separate lives by the time we came to the beginning of the Christian era. The many lives seemed to be almost equally divided between male and female, rich and poor, intelligent and uneducated. Each one was filled with a wealth of detail about the religious dogma and cultural customs of the time period. I am positive even a scholar trained in history and anthropology could not come up with the incredible detail that she gave us. No, this knowledge was coming from somewhere else. I prefer to believe that she actually lived all these lives and the knowledge has remained hidden in the vast computer memory banks called the subconscious mind. It only required pushing the right buttons and giving the mind the right signals to cause the knowledge to be brought forward and relived again. We have no idea how many more lives lie waiting to see the light of day once again. The stories of these other lives will be written in another book. It would do them an injustice to try to cram them into one book. There is far too much information. When I found there was a possibility that the entity we had come upon could give information about the life of Christ, I the subject thought it was important to stay with that time period and see what would emerge. I had no idea where the experiment was leading or if anything of value would come forth. But on the slightest chance that something could be found, I stopped taking her backward and kept returning to the life of Sadi, one of Jesus' ascended teachers, to get more information. We stayed with this for 13 sessions, over 3 months. If this life had been the first I had encountered while working with Katie, I would have immediately dismissed the whole thing as fantasy and stopped the sessions. Everyone automatically thinks if someone mentions having known Jesus that they must be on an ego trip. But this information did not come forth until I had been working with her for 9 months. By that time I knew where she was coming from. I knew what tremendous capabilities she had in recalling past lives in great detail. We had built up a very strong bond of trust during that time. I believe this is the only way the story could have come out. It took much patience to continue working with one subject and to keep moving systematically backward. But if I had stopped too soon, this story would never have been written. Even knowing her as well as I did, I was still reluctant to tell anyone that I had discovered someone who was one of the ascended teachers of Jesus. I was sure I would get a smirk of disbelief and some snide remark, such as, "Oh, yeah? Now tell me another," as though I thought them gullible enough to swallow anything. I can understand that. I am sure I would have been skeptical if I had heard this from someone else. But I had to believe her. There was no other way to explain what was happening. There was no possibility of lying. She was speaking from a hypnotic trance so deep that this was impossible. And the information that came forth demanded rigorous research and speaking with several experts on the subjects. Yet she never knew at any time where we would go next and what I would ask her. Her answers came spontaneously and naturally. In the beginning days of our work, she wanted to hear the tape recordings after the session was over. Later she showed less interest, merely asking upon awakening, "Well, where did we go today?" She didn't care about listening to the session. She often expressed amazement because she said she knew very little about the time period or country covered. Jesus and the essence. After the Jesus material began to come forth, it started to bother her somewhat. Maybe it was her old religious background rearing its head. Especially when she began to say things that were controversial and contradictory to the Bible, it began to overwhelm her. She said it did not seem possible that all this was coming from her. It was mind-boggling. This one life bothered her more than any of the others we had gone through. Whatever the reason was, at this time she decided she did not want to have any more sessions. She was planning a move anyway. Her company wanted her to transfer to another branch office with a promotion and more pay. She also thought a year was long enough to work on regression experiments. It was time to call it to a halt. I agreed that she should pursue her life wherever it might lead her. I would have liked to have had a few more sessions. I was doing research by that time and wanted some answers to things that were puzzling me. But I thought, Would I ever have all my questions answered? And even if they were, there would always be questions that someone else would come up with. We would probably never be able to answer all possible questions and confidently close the book on that life, to consider it totally wrapped up. As it is, I think I have covered a very wide range by asking about the living conditions and the customs and knowledge that were taught by the Essens. Chapter 3, Meeting Sadi. I was keeping fairly close track of the time periods as we went slowly back. I had the different lives listed in a notebook. This was the only way I could keep them straight. She was never confused as to who and where she was, but many times I was at a loss, so the notebook was essential to me. I had to refer to it many times. It is difficult to convey the appearance of this phenomenon through words on paper. The people she became were very real, with emotions, facial and body mannerisms that were characteristic soft-tic-o-fat-1. I became so familiar with these different individuals that I was soon able to recognize each one before they gave their names. In the last few weeks we had seen her as the doctor in Alexandria discussing the drugs and methods of surgery used in the 400 AD period. Then she was a yellow-robed monk in the mountains of Tibet talking about Buddhist philosophy in 300 AD. Then came the surprise of finding a girl around 200 AD, who could not hear or speak. Normally I would have directed Katie to go back another 100 years. This time my instruction had to be worded differently. Since she could not communicate very well, we were not certain of the time period we were in. The personalities would often have strong accents which made transcribing difficult. There is a strange pattern I have noticed about the manner in which the different entities speak English. It is as though they are mentally translating from one language to another. When this occurs, the words are transposed out of their natural order. Often what sounds like bad grammar is another example of this strange phenomenon. It gives one the impression that the entity, the being with whom we come into contact, cannot speak English and is trying to find the correct words from somewhere in Katie's brain or computer banks. This often results in mistakes in grammar, sentence structure or word order that she would never have made in her natural waking state. I believe this is G.D. Aviasufs 24. Sugd, G., are this girl to 3 of interceptee or, a meeting study circumstances of the individual's life. When I first encounter a new personality, I have certain routine questions I always ask until the location and culture are established. When I know where we are, then I can ask more specific questions. I asked for his name. Sadi, I am Benzema. Phonetic it sounded something like Benjamin, and I asked him if that was the name. But he again replied Benzema with the accent on the last syllable. He said the other name, first name, was not used unless you were important. I asked him what I should call him, and he gave me permission to call him Sadi, which was a play name. Nickname? The pronunciation sounded like Saudi or Sadi, with an accent on the last syllable. I will use Sadi throughout this book since it is easier than Benzema. Many times in these ancient cultures the person does not know how old they are, or they have different terminology. But he said, I have 30 years. He was not married. No. It is not part of me life. There are those who desire nothing more than a family. And there are those who have many things to accomplish in their lives, that to have a wife and possibly children would bring them sorrow. Therefore it is unnecessarily cruel to others to ask them to share. D. This is why you have no desire to marry? I did not say that I did not have the desire. It just stated that I probably would not. He said he usually lived in the hills. There was a community there that was maybe 2 days' journey away. When I asked the name of the community, which is a normal question, the person's soft hyphenality changed. Normally Katie would answer questions without hesitation. But Sadi suddenly showed suspicion and asked curtly, why do you wish to know? This was unusual and I could not understand the reaction. I explained that I was just curious. After much hesitation he finally said it was called Qumran, which he pronounced as Qumran. At the time this name meant nothing to me, and I resumed my questions. I asked about his occupation. I study the books of the Torah and I study law, Hebrew law. This also did not mean anything to me. As a Protestant, I did not Jesus and the Essens know what the Torah was, and I thought he meant law such as legal law that is used in the courts. I was to receive much education within the next few months as I discovered the Torah was the Jewish religious book, and the law referred to the laws of Moses which the Jewish people patterned their lives after. I asked if he was what some people call a rabbi. I assumed we had come across an educated Jewish man, and I knew a rabbi had something to do with their religion and possibly education. We, the people involved in this experiment, have had little contact with Jewish people, knew almost nothing about the Jewish religion, and had never been to a synagogue. He answered that he was not a teacher, only a student. So I at least found out that rabbi means teacher. When I am working with Katie, I often feel very stupid because I do not know the basic things about the time period she is in. But then I never know where she will go and cannot be prepared for all possibilities. So I must draw on what limited knowledge I may have or feel my way by questioning. I think the people who say I must be asking leading questions to get these lives to come forth, can see this is not true. I have no way of knowing what will happen next, and often feel I am only going along for the ride. D. What are you going to do when you finish your training? S. Go abroad among the people and share with them what we have learned. D. Does it take very long to become a teacher? S. For some it is a lifetime. Forothos the path begins early. I cannot remember a time when I did not study. D. Are the rabbis the ones that teach you? S. You speak of rabbis. I believe you mean in the sense of the village rabbi. I have my masters who would teach me. But I am not taught by the rabbis in the village. D. Who are your masters? I meant by my question what religion or type of school they were affiliated with. But he thought I meant their names. S. There is Ben David, who is the teacher of mathematics. There is Metlava, who is the teacher of the mysteries. There is my teacher of the Torah, who is Zamer, my father. He, through Katie's face, smiled at the mention of his father and meeting Sadi. I drew the conclusion that there must be affection there. S. And my teacher of righteousnesses, a long name here that I could not transcribe. She teaches the things that have been handed down, all of the laws of truth, of things that are protected. There is Judith Gesesiha. Phonetic, difficult to understand. What she has taught me are the prophecies of the stars, the knowledge of their pathways. It is said that, when she speaks all listen. She has a great many years. She is perhaps 70, maybe even older. I am not sure. She has great knowledge in other areas, this is just one. D. Do most boys have to study these things at some time in their life? S. There's a point in every Hebrew young man's life when he must study the law and the Torah, but it is usually when he has his bar mitzvah. But if you wish to become a master or a teacher to follow the pathway, you must always leave yourself open for more learning. D. Do you get teachings from any place else? S. You mean if the knowledge comes from afar, this does. But my teachers, they live with us. When my father was young, he traveled to many places that are known to us and studied many things which he tries to impart to me. D. Is this the custom that some will go to different lands to learn from others? S. So it is with us, yes. It is duty to pass on knowledge. For this is a great sin, to not share with those who have thirst. Sadi had not yet traveled to any other countries in the pursuit of knowledge, but he thought it was very possible that he would be fortunate enough to do so. D. How is this decision made? S. There will be a sign for us that it is time and that he has come and that we must move. My father's is that it will be told in the heavens and that we will know. I didn't understand what he meant, so I asked who was coming. He answered in a very matter-of-fact manner, the Messiah. The time is known to a few. I was not sure what to make of this statement. D. Hasn't it been said that the Messiah has already come? Jesus and the Essens. I was not sure what time period we were in, and I knew that the Jews have never acknowledged that the Messiah ever came. They are still looking for him to this day. I thought Sadi was probably a Jewish man living some time after the birth of Christ. There was always the possibility of getting some information about the man, Jesus. Surely a learned man would know the stories of his time. S. No. He has not come, for the heavens have not let it be known. It is said that from Fkornistat stars will rise together, and when that they meet, it will be the time of his birth. D. But I have heard it is said that he has come already. Have you heard those stories? S. No. He has not come. For as long as there have been Jews, there have been rumors of false prophets and false messiahs. But he is not here. D. Have your people ever heard of the man called Jesus? Some people have said that he was the Messiah who came. They say he lived in Nazareth and Bethlehem. S. I have not even heard this name, it is unknown to me. There is no one in Nazareth that is of that name, otherwise I would know him. This time when he mentioned Nazareth, it made me realize he might be in or near the Holy Land. I asked if Bethlehem was near, and he acknowledged that it was. D. I've also heard of the country Judah. Is that near there? S. Rather impatiently, it is here. She always knew where she was, even if I was often confused. Now that I definitely had the country, the locale, I set about trying to establish the time period. D. Who is the ruler at this time in your land? S. King Herod. I knew that according to the Bible there was more than one King Herod. One who reigned at the time of Jesus' birth and another at the time of his death. For all I knew there could have been more. D. I have heard there have been many King Herods. Is that true? S. He seemed confused. This is Herod the First. There were no others. He is the father of Antipas and Philip, but this is Herod. Meeting Sadie, I felt a shiver of excitement. Maybe Jesus had not been born yet. D. What do you think of King Herod? S. He is very much under the thumb of the Romans. This is not good. Sigh, he is a bloodthirsty lecher. His emotion surprised me. D. Oh? I've heard many stories, some good and some bad. S. Oh, no. You cannot know anything of Herod to ask these questions. I have never heard any good of Herod. D. Does Herod live in Jerusalem? S. At times. He has many residences throughout. Sometimes he would to travel to other areas. D. Have you ever seen him? S. No. I have no wish to see that. It was very evident that he was not fond of Herod. He did not like discussing him. I was still wondering what time period we were in. It would be difficult to get a year, since our years are reckoned from the time of Christ. These people must have used a different method of keeping track of the years, if he had not been born yet. S. There are 12 months for each of the 12 tribes. The year is. He seemed to be having difficulty finding an answer. The years are numbered by the years of King. I'm not sure. I think 'tis the 20th year of his reign. For some reason that even Harriet herself could not explain, she had an obsession with finding out something about the group known as the Essens. She had said repeatedly, I certainly wish you would hurry and get to that time period. She said later she somehow knew that something important was waiting there. When she said this, I would answer, but I don't even know when they lived. She said she thought it was during the time of Christ. I would then state, well, we're heading that way, and I would continue my methodical plodding backward by 50 and 100 year jumps, much to her frustration. Each separate lifetime held its own share of surprises and historical knowledge, sc. I was in no hurry to speed up the procedure that had proven so effective. Now that it was obvious we were in the correct time, Jesus and the Essens period, Harriet seized the opportunity and asked, have you ever heard of a group that is known as the Essene? Sadie surprised us by answering, yes. Why do you ask of these? Elated, Harriet answered, I just wondered if you knew anything about them. If they followed your teachings. Sadie said, they are my teachers. This was a surprise and gave the promise of a monumental breakthrough to be able to learn something about such a secretive, unknown group. Oh, Harriet remarked, we have been search soft hyphening for them. S. They have no wish to be found. Unless they desire it, you will not find us. He had thus indicated that he was also a member of the group. I wondered if this secrecy would create trouble in finding answers about them. D. I have heard the Essens are like a secret organization. Would that be correct? S. They are greatly feared by those who are in power, because we have studied into the mysteries that others have only hinted at. and they fear that if we gain too much power and knowledge that they will lose their place. H. How do they differ from the regular Jewish community? S. There is more strict adherence to the laws. More adherence to the average Jew means, upon the end of Sabbath he leaves the synagogue and he does not remember it again until the beginning of the next Sabbath. To us, the law and the Torah are all. We must not forget that this is why that we live. Much time is spent upon the defining of the prophecies given, and knowing that this is the time that they shall be culminated. And it is a urdity to prepare Eothus for this time, and to prepare way. We were again surprised when he told us that women as well as men were members of their sect. They were teachers and students alike. This was surprising because women in the average Jewish community at that time were not allowed the distinction of equality with men. Study confirmed this. In most synagogues women are not even allowed inside. They have the women's deris. I wondered why women were allotted this honor, with the essence. Meeting study s, it is said that one away from the other is not complete. So all knowledge must be shared, so that it can never be lost. I have known women who have more brains than the average rabbi. This statement amused and delighted us. But he became suspicious again when I asked for an idea of how large the community was. He asked cautiously, "Why do you wish to know?" I had to think of an answer that he would not consider threatening. I'm just interested in the size of the community because of the living conditions. I would think if it were very large it would be difficult to house or feed. Sadi relaxed and said the number was not known for sure. D. Is there any dissension between the Essene teachers and the Jewish teachers in the area? S. Yes, they call us crazy, because we believe that the time is at hand. They have given up hope for the coming of the Messiah. He was frowning deeply and seemed uneasy. I am curious to know why you wish this knowledge. I would prefer to not answer any more. There are many who would find out about our community and see it destroyed. I was unaware that the Essenes had enemies during that time. D. You said you were going to your cousins. If your people have enemies, aren't you afraid that someone will find you while you're out like this? S. They do not know who I am. To them I am just a traveler. I do not have blue skin. We laughed. We may tell each other by certain ways, but others may not tell us. Since I had heard that the Essenes were a secret religious order living in seclusion like monks in a monastery, I asked if there was a name for their kind of religion. S. It has no name. We are known as the Essene. But this, as my father speaks, it is a school of thought, not a religion. He had difficulty with that word. We believe in God, the Father. D. Do you have a name for God in your language? S. Yahweh. It means. With no name, for God is the nameless one. He has no name that man has knowledge of. They are also known as the Elohim and Elori. They are basically the same thing. They Jesus and the Essenes speak of God. There are many names by which you may call upon him and he will know you speak of him. These are just a few. When I speak to him, I do not call him Yahweh. I call him Abba, which means Father. We had made the breakthrough into the time of Christ and had met one of the Essenes, the most mysterious and secretive group in history. When I realized the potential of what we might have, I decided to stay with this lifetime and explore it more fully. Who could tell? It might even reveal something about the life of Christ. And we might be able to find out some information about this little known group. Of course, Sadi was showing signs of suspicion and reluctance to answer certain questions, but I felt this could be dealt with. There are many ways of going around a topic to get the desired answers. Still, I never expected what would happen within the next 3 months. The incredible amount of knowledge and information that poured forth was like riding a whirlwind. It came so fast and furious it, at times, took our breath away. We did not expect what was to come and we got more than we bargained for. In the next chapters I have tried to compile the information according to content. It did not come through in this manner. It was like putting an incredibly complicated puzzle together, taking a piece from one session and a piece from another. But I think this way of presenting it makes for easier reading. There is a twofold purpose in this book. One is to present the accumulated knowledge about the customs and living conditions of the vague, shadowy group known as the Essenes. The other is to relate the life of Christ against this background as he was associated with this group, and as he was seen through the eyes of a loving teacher. Chapter 4, Who Are the Essenes? Before we began these sessions, if someone had asked me for information about the Essenes and Quran, I would have told them I knew next to nothing. I wasn't even sure how to pronounce their name. The Essenes to me were a mysterious group shrouded in secrecy. I assumed, as others had, that they were a religious group similar to monks, living in isolation in a monastery-type environment. This was what I had heard. There was also a rumor or legend that Jesus may have studied with them or at least visited them. But this idea sounded like all of the other legends about him. Legends that he had visited other parts of the world during the lost years. When I have spoken with groups interested in metaphysics, I have received the same reaction. The names are somehow vaguely familiar, but few can supply any information about them. I could not have even told you where Qumran was located. Harriet admitted she knew no more than I did about this group. I remember the excitement in the early 1950s when the Discourse-Soft-Eri of the Dead Sea Scrolls burst upon the scene. They were somehow connected with the Essenes and Qumran. I wondered sometimes what had happened to the unearthed manuscripts. After the first flurry of excitement, they seemed to disappear as surely as if they had been pushed back into the caves from which they had sprung. It seemed a pity, because they were said to be an early version of our Bible. Brad Steiger, noted author and expert in reincarnation studies, suggests that regressionists working on verification should delay any research until they have finished their work with the subject or the time period. He says one theory is that through hypnosis the subject's awareness is greatly heightened. There is always the possibility, no matter how slim, that they could pick up the information from the minds of anyone participating, through telepathy or ESP. I believe this was sound advice, and would Jesus and the Essenes better ensure the validity of the material. So, except for looking at maps to locate Qumran, I bided my time. After 3 months of working on this, I thought we had enough information that it was at last safe to start my historical research. I was to discover that even today, over 30 years after the excavations of the ruins of Qumran, the Essenes remain a mystery soft-os, secretive group. I was disappointed to find the books were mostly repetitions of each other. All but one were written in the early 50s. They each described the discoveries of the scrolls and the later excavation of Qumran. Each discussed the translations of some of the scrolls that had been found intact. They all came to the same conclusions about who or what the community was. The authors all referred to each other as experts on the subject. I might as well have been reading one book. I wondered why, after all the glowing reports of the greatest discovery in the history of mankind, there were no later books written about further trans-soft-lashings of the scrolls. It was as if a door had been opened and then suddenly slammed shut. The one exception was the Essene Heritage by Martin A. Larson, published in 1967. Here at last was a fresh approach. He dared to raise the possibility of a cover-up. That perhaps what had begun to emerge was too much for the conventional church to accept. There were possibly discrepancies between these much older versions and our modern-day Bible. There were also indications that Christianity had not originated full-blown with Jesus but had its beginnings in the customs and beliefs of the Essenes. Larson suggests this would not be tolerated by the church. Modern clergy would think that the idea of Christianity before there was a Christ would be too much for the layman to accept. John Marco Allegro also has like beliefs. He was originally a member of the international team of 8 scholars who began the editing of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Of these men, 4 were Roman Catholics, and he was the only member with no religious commit soft-ment. Ironically, Professor Allegro is now not even permitted to see the scrolls. At least 400 documents had been pieced together and prepared for publication by the end of the 1960s, but only 4 or 5 have been released to the public. He also asks searching questions as to why this information has been withheld. The scrolls were pushed quietly back into the woodwork, and who are the Essenes? Quite a few of them have disappeared again. One theologian was known to remark, "I wish they would just disappear and resurface after about 2 more generations." He meant in this way he would not have to explain them to his flock. I think this is very likely what has happened. I also think they may have found some of the same things which I unearthed during our experiment and they couldn't handle them.